Hello, and welcome to America First. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. We begin with the sudden passing of one of the most influential and controversial Republicans of the last generation. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, well, he died Saturday evening, following what his office has described as a brief and sudden illness. He was only 71. Now, for more than two decades, Lindsey Graham was one of the most recognizable voices in the United States Senate. He was a military veteran, a constitutional lawyer, a fierce advocate for a strong American military, a key architect of conservative judicial confirmations, and one of President Donald Trump's closest allies during the latter years of his Senate career. Yet his legacy is also complicated. Too many traditional Republicans, Lindsey Graham represented principled conservatism and unwavering American leadership abroad. But to many America First conservatives, he embodied the interventionist foreign policy establishment that President Trump challenged in 2016. You know, his passing leaves behind more than an empty Senate seat. It leaves a political vacuum in one of America's most Republican states. Welcome to America First. Politics often moves at lightning speed, but moments like this actually force us to pause. Regardless of political disagreements, Lindsey Graham devoted decades of his life to public service. He represented South Carolina in Congress for more than 30 years. His influence stretched from military policy to the federal judiciary to foreign affairs to some of the most consequential confirmation battles in modern history. His political journey, well, it was remarkable. He entered national politics as part of the Reagan generation. He became one of Senator John McCain's closest allies. He sharply criticized Donald Trump during the 2016 Republican primary. Then, after Trump became president, the two developed one of the closest working relationships in Washington that had many people scratching their heads. Now, whether you admired him or disagreed with him, Lindsey Graham was never irrelevant. His voice carried weight, especially when it came to national security. His death also comes at a politically significant time. You see, South Carolina Republicans, they now face questions about succession, leadership, and the future direction of one of the nation's most important conservative states. The governor has appointed Lindsey Graham's sister, Darlene Graham Nordone, to fill his interim position. But will the next senator represent the traditional Reagan Republican wing? Or will this become another defining battle for the America First movement? So tonight, we examine both Lindsey Graham's legacy and what comes next. Joining me now are our guests, legal media analyst Lionel and Austin Steinberg of the Quorantum Party of America. Thank you so much for joining me, Austin and Lionel.
Thank you.
Sorry, man.
Austin, I'm going to start with you. Politics aside, how should Americans remember his Lindsey Graham's public service and his impact not only on South Carolina, but the United States Senate?
Well, speaking for myself personally, I know I will remember him. I was at a dinner party one time back in, I want to say, 2013, 2014. And this was as the war in Syria was amping up. And it was maybe like a year after this DIA report came out that said that they were essentially arming terrorist groups to wage this war against Assad. And my most vivid memory of Lindsey Graham personally is him standing in front of all of those donors and lying to all of our faces about what was really happening and essentially completely misrepresenting what they were doing, taking evil of arming terrorists and like cloaking it under the guise of, you know, Americanism and patriotic behavior. So that is my most vivid memory of Lindsey Graham.
Well, it's interesting, Lionel, because you hear Austin and a lot of people, especially if you are part of the American First movement, have recollections of interacting with Lindsey Graham in that capacity, the more neocon side of the Republican Party. But from your perspective as watching Republicans, let's take away these past, you know, what's going on currently. Talk to me about his relationship with President Trump, because it's been interesting because he was one of Trump's harshest critics. But towards the end here, you could not find President Trump traveling overseas without Lindsey Graham in his right viewpoint, or the left one, some might say. How important do you think was Lindsey Graham to President Trump's first and second terms, and did they differ in any way?
Well, at first, he basically said he hated President Trump, and he said, go away and shut up. And but I want to speak to something which is more important. I mean, not that that's important, or that's not important. He was one of the consummate politicians. Listen, this is brutal. This is a guy who, for 23 years in the Senate, never budged. He wasn't a crook. He didn't have any money. He didn't steal anything. He was in for the ideological battle. You knew exactly what he felt. He never changed. He might have bothered some people, been hypocritical. But, Scotty, you know probably as well as anybody else, this is Washington. Hypocrisy is their middle name. Schizophrenia is a spectator sport. That aside, this is a person, along with Lyndon Johnson, who will go down as being one of the greatest tacticians of the Senate. Remember one thing. I will say this, and I know this may bother some people, and let me just go on the record. As far as his policies, I didn't agree with him. But that's not what I'm talking about. In terms of what he was, a competitor, a guy who knew how it was done, nobody was better. He was 100%. He was a stalwart and a man to be reckoned with. And let me say this again. He's not a crook. He didn't have any money. He didn't steal anything. And probably the prototypical, quintessential, archetypical, abecedarian neocon in American history.
You know, Lionel, you bring up a very good point. It's becoming even more showing right now after his death. You're right. For being such a neocon, most of the time we see neocons like Mitt Romney, others that make millions off of pushing these foreign wars. Lindsey Graham did not die the richest man in the Senate. In fact, I think they're saying he's in the middle to bottom half of the Senate for as many years as he's been in. And this is what's interesting about it, because it's been since 1956, two men in South Carolina have held that seat. So Lindsey Graham has been in there since, 1993, I think, is when he took it over. So for so much of a neocon policy, he did not make money. So could you actually think, Lionel, that he actually believed what he was pushing, that in his heart he truly believed in what he was doing?
Well, absolutely. Now, the reason why he believed it, the motivation, let me just go on the record. I mean, I don't want to suggest that I endorse what he's doing. But just like there have been people that I have kind of disagreed with, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, before they got to him, was absolutely 100% a stalwart. He never budged. I would venture to say that Donald Trump, before whatever happened to him, was, again, truly America first. He was somebody that we all admired and voted for. So while they had their moments, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, that was one thing. Let me say this again, whether you like him or not. Lindsey Graham never budged. Lindsey Graham, 93, is Lindsey Graham now. That's it, warts and all. You didn't have to wonder what day it was. He did not move with the wind.
Do you agree with that, Austin? I mean, I agree that Lindsey Graham was probably the best politician, if you want to use politician in a positive way, that probably has ever existed. He could write textbooks on it. In South Carolina, he would literally create and pay people to run against him to split the conservative vote so that he could stay in. Time and time again, he would spend millions in a race. The people would go the most expensive race when it was just one versus three others. So, Austin, do you agree with that assumption that he was a great politician? He might have not been the best at foreign policy, and saving lives, but as a politician, he definitely, you know, is a top notch.
I agree that he was a remarkably effective tactician in that regard. And I agree for the most part that he maintained his views, like the same foreign policy views he held in the 90s, he held until recently. Obviously, with the Trump situation, he flipped on those views. One of the things that I'll remember him for, too, is when Russiagate was getting started, kind of like one of the most damaging, ridiculous things that ever happened in our country. This was clearly, if you read the WikiLeaks, something that was set up by the Democrats. And he was one of the key Republicans that went along with that early on and acted like there might be something there. And I feel like that cohort of Republicans, including him and John McCain, they really helped get the ball rolling on that thing, because if they would have just stood their ground and been like, this is transparently fraudulent, it would have looked like a partisan witch hunt. The fact that they gave their bipartisan credibility to that really is what helped get that off the ground. So yes, I think he was a very formidable politician, even on areas where I disagree. He was in power for a very long time, And, you know, like John McCain, when he staged that person asking him the question about Barack Obama being an Arab in the crowd, he was a master of, like, staging political events that essentially led into things he was trying to accomplish.
Well, I'm glad that we can all agree on this one. I think that another point that we'll agree on, though, is that a lot of us do not agree with his foreign policy. Lionel, many America First conservatives, they preferred greater restraint in overseas military involvement. How much did Lindsey Graham represent the last major voice of the traditional Republican foreign policy establishment? Or is that cloak going to be passed on to someone else who's sitting in the Senate currently?
I think it's going to be passed on. And I think the refined message might be as well. If you go back and listen, I was listening today and over the weekend, of Lindsey Graham at his best, when he was trying to juxtapose and compare nuking Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and then how Israel should nuke Gaza or the policy. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, whoa, hit the brakes a little bit. There was no end. There was no circuit breaker with him. None. He would say anything. And there was one thing about him too, which is very interesting. And this may sound like a double-edged compliment, but you never said what. There was never nuance. There was never any code. You knew exactly. Sometimes you're going to say, whoa, whoa, you know, take it easy. There's no brakes, no circuit breaker, no firewall. And I'm telling you, with this level of equivocation that we're hearing from everybody, there's something, again, I don't agree with him, but there's something interestingly, remarkably admirable about somebody you understood, even though he scared the hell out of you.
Well, and we have to say that, you know, every time that I would see that we were on a path to peace, whether we were looking at the conflict in Ukraine, Russia,
right,
looking at Iran, Israel, whenever it blew
here
up,
it
was real simple to know that somehow Lindsey Graham had a visit with the White House or
exactly.
President Trump within the previous 24 hours. Austin, Lionel, please stay right there with us, because when we return, we're going to discuss who is being appointed to fill Lindsey Graham's seat and how this changes the balance of power inside the Republican Party. And more importantly, whether this becomes one of the most important Senate races in America. Stay with us. Welcome back to America First. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. You know, tonight we're reflecting on the life and the legacy of Senator Lindsey Graham while examining what comes next for South Carolina and the Republican Party. Joining me now once again is legal media analyst Lionel and Austin Steinbart of the Quantum Party of America. You know, I just have to reflect. We have lots of passing. Unfortunately, senators pass every day just because they are real human beings. I don't devote an entire show to a senator passing. Maybe Mitch McConnell might be at some point. But this has been, it shows just the legacy and the impact and the power that Lindsey Graham had, and the fact that even I am doing a full show to him. So I have to start off talking about who Governor McMaster prioritizes. Obviously, he has just appointed Lindsey Graham out of honor, also out of respect to President Donald Trump, who weighed in to fulfill this final term. But Austin, how important is the next 6 months, do you feel like, in foreign policy? And what does it mean by having just basically Lindsey Graham's sister, who has no elected official experience? She has some experience with the government, but no actual policy experience. How important is this, do you think, and what are your expectations for her?
My expectations are that she's just going to kind of go with the flow. I don't think she has the connections and the ambitions that Lindsey Graham did. He essentially, for his entire career, traveled all around the world and developed relationships with various militant groups and various rogue governments like the Zelensky regime. And so he was deeply intertwined in moving the ball forward. And I would say on the day before his death, he was even over there trying to escalate further against Russia as President Trump is trying to rein that in. So I don't think she will be as effective at moving the ball forward. I don't think she is going to be as into the minutiae. I think she's just going to kind of go with the flow.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, you brought up a very good point, Lionel. You know, when you had the wake of waking up to the news that Senator Graham had passed, were you surprised by the world leaders who immediately came out and expressed their condolences? But more importantly, how much the media focused on? In many cases, I would see President Zelensky, I would see Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and then I would see Donald Trump's comments on it. Were you surprised that even the media recognized how much Lindsey Graham meant to other countries and their leadership over America's leadership? Did that tell you anything?
Yeah, well, first of all, you may not like this, but it goes to show you how unimaginative a lot of the media are. They have to do this. It's like playing a hit record. It's like when people had to play You Light Up My Life every day for Debbie. But they didn't like the song. They just had to. Can you imagine not doing it? Can you imagine CNN or MSNBC or not covering it? So they had to. But also they had to. You saw this, and I'm sorry. Death brings a little amnesia and this apotheosis. When you have Cory Booker who said, this was my best friend. He was the greatest man. Cory, come on, man. I mean, look, I appreciate that. And, it's nice to know that death sometimes kind of mollifies us. But you've got to be kidding. Remember years ago when Mel Carnahan died, he was running against John Ashcroft. And Mel Carnahan died. Right. And he pointed his wife. And he won against John Ashcroft, his wife. A dead man. I said, why are you appointing wives? Where did this come about? I don't understand that. With all of the great, didn't he have a protege? Isn't there somebody who can spend some time getting to wow people, to say, hey, look how great I am, as opposed to his sister? I know that's nice, but let me remind you, dear friends, this is the Senate. I mean, this is cutesy, but I don't understand this. And the Republican Party needs something to continue going and not any hiccups, especially as, let me throw this in, while many people are saying, Mitch McConnell's okay, right? He's okay, right? I hope he, right. I mean, I never thought I, so these are tenuous times because, with talk of death and incapacity, I think they need to hit the floor or the ground running.
Well, and to Lionel's point, Austin, on this case, I thought, especially since America's celebrating their 250th year anniversary, I thought that's why we fought our war, was so that we got rid of these dynasties, these political dynasties, that it doesn't matter who you're related to, that you automatically got put into the position, that's why we were not doing. But, to Lionel's point on this question, and you bring up a really good angle and thought that I had not even thought about while you were talking, Lionel. Austin, when you're looking at who he's appointing this, do you think it was just a simple, I just want to do the least controversial, or is there something more into this reading of why the sister was put in and not somebody that was probably more qualified for the position?
I think there's a very contentious situation on the ground right now. I think half of the right is in the process of revolting, is very mad about the direction of the foreign policy and the lack of the release of the Epstein files. So I think if they appointed somebody like a Nikki Haley, that would be a signal, right? That would further inflame and further degrade their situation going into the midterms. Conversely, I feel like if they put somebody who's more dovish in there, that would inflame the more hawkish elements of the party. And so this is kind of a safe, at least in their mind, I think it's ridiculous, the nepotism going on, right. but it's a safe, unable to be questioned thing that's not going to create a controversy of why did you put that super hawk in there, or why did you put that super dove in there? Because it's already a very, they're already facing a very uphill battle for the midterms as it is because people are so upset.
And I don't know if putting another Graham in there is going to help motivate any of that base. Right. South Carolina just went through a primary. Lionel, President Trump has relied heavily, I think, on these Senate allies to move judicial nominees, budget priorities, border legislation, and national security. How significant do you think Lindsey Graham's absence to the president's legislative strategy is going to be, even with his sister being put into place into that same seat?
Oh, enormous. Enormous. And let me also add something, that there's something that I think we all realize. With the likes of Tucker Carlson and other people officially saying, along with MTG and Massey and Locke, Locke and others, people are suggesting that the third party notion, which for the longest time seemed like a pipe dream, this is ridiculous. And so people are now asking themselves, maybe we should reconsider this. Maybe we need to find a balance. Whatever happened to America First? So right now, there's a lot of folks looking at this. And I'm sorry, we've heard of the expression Nepo babies and the like. But, like I said, with Joe Kent, with Thomas and other people, Massey, a lot of people are saying, watch what happens. And again, I don't want to bring up Mitch McConnell again, but keep an eye on what's happening to Kentucky. So this is important. You got to get somebody who is basically able to, while the attention is there, to say Republicans are strong, the GOP is strong, we're not going anywhere. We are not fractionalized. We are not distracted. There's no fracture. There's no frisson here. We are We are one. We are family, to bring up Sister Sledge. But that's what they need to do. This seems to be like just wasted time. You need somebody who really is good and somebody who can get the American attention. Because, like I said, times are wasting, and they can't waste anything on, granted, a sister, a loving sister, but somebody who's a neophyte.
Well, and ultimately, this comes down to the people of South Carolina, Austin. And as you know, this past year, they just went through an absolutely bloody primary when it came to the governor's office, to which Nancy Mace and others were involved and did not win, did not fare very well. But President Trump's person who he endorsed, the lieutenant governor, she did not fare well. In fact, it was so bad that the President Trump had to come at the very end and say, I endorse both of them. And, of course, the other person that he endorsed won. So this is also a state that disregarded President Trump's request to redistrict and create more congressional lines. So the whole state right now might not necessarily, while it's always been a strong Trump country, I don't know today how it's going to be. So, Austin, how much of a hope do you have for whomever they put in? And there's lots of rumors going in right now about who's going to be putting their name in for a very short base. It's going to happen just in August. I think it's in the middle of August that this is going to happen. How confident are you that they're going to put somebody in that's not a Lindsey Graham part two, and actually somebody that might go along with this new era of movement, this America First crowd that seems to be residing in South Carolina right now and standing up to President Trump?
Well, I'm not very confident at all. I think South Carolina is a state with a lot of, very established power brokers and good old boy networks. And so I think whoever goes in there is going to have to kind of be a slightly different flavor of the same exact thing that we've been getting. And I think that's going to further inflame the division within the Republican Party. And essentially, this idea that people are flirting with a third party, like it's going to lay the groundwork for that to come to fruition here.
And ultimately, obviously, we look at legacy. We looked at it when we were looking at past senators who's passed away. This one, I have to ask you, Lionel, 5 years from now, how will history actually remember Lindsey Graham? And what should the lessons be the next generation learn about Republican leaders from both his successes and his critics?
Oh, people will love him because he was, in many respects, larger than life. He was a character. He wasn't, you mentioned Mitt Romney. Who? I'm with all due respect to Mitt, he was somebody, again, who reminds me of almost like, you know, the lion of the Senate, Johnson. He knew how to play it. This was somebody that nobody was about. And people, history loves characters. And by the way, you never know the best line was from Tolstoy, that said history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true. So what you're going to see in 5 years from now, you may not even recognize him. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to go down in history because he was a character. He believed in what he said. He never faltered, never took a dime, wasn't a crook. And you know, and he was the same guy when he left as he was when he came in. Might have been wrong, but consistency matters.
Well, and Austin, I just have to say, there's something to be said about the only way that they get a new seat since 1956 is by the person passing away in office. So I think to a certain extent, South Carolina is looking forward to putting some new blood in there. Thank you so much, Lionel and Austin Steinbart, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You know, public service, it's never simple. Neither are the people who choose it. Lindsey Graham spent decades fighting for what he believed was in America's best interest. Some applauded him, some challenged him, many did both over the course of his career. But democracy depends on serious public servants willing to step into difficult debates. This is a reminder that political movements evolve. The Republican Party Lindsey Graham entered into is not the same Republican Party we see today, nor will today's Republican Party remain unchanged forever. South Carolina now has an opportunity to write its next chapter. And Republicans nationwide will be watching closely as we pray for Senator Graham's family, friends, and staff, and the people of South Carolina. We are reminded that while political disagreements are inevitable, respect for a lifetime of public service, well, it should never disappear. That is one tradition that is worth preserving. Thank you for watching. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been America First.